The Girl Who Reads on the Metro by Christine Ferré-Fleury, translated by Roz Schwartz and read by Stephanie Racine. Chapter 1. The man in the green hat always got on at Bercy, always via the doors at the front of the carriage, and then exited via the same doors at La Maupiquet-Grenelle, exactly 17 minutes later. At least, that was on days when the stops, warning signals and clanging were regular. The days that weren't exceptionally overcrowded, when there weren't any accidents, terror alerts or strikes, and no unscheduled stops to regulate the service. Ordinary days. The days when you feel as though you're a cog in a well-oiled machine. A huge, mechanical body in which each person has their place and their part to play, willingly or not. On those days, Juliet would take refuge behind her butterfly-framed sunglasses and her chunky scarf, knitted by Granny Adrienne in 1975 for her daughter. The 2.5-metre scarf was a faded blue, the colour of distant peaks at 7 o'clock on a summer's eve, not just anywhere, but in the Pyrenean town of Prades, gazing towards Mount Canigou. And she would sit, wondering whether her existence in this world was any more precious than that of the spider she'd drowned that morning in her shower. She didn't like doing it, aiming the jet at the small, black, hairy creature, and watching out of the corner of her eye as the spindly legs flailed in panic and then abruptly folded in on the body. Then the spider would whirl around, as light and inconsequential as a wisp of wool plucked from her favourite sweater, until it was sucked down the plug hole, which she immediately stopped up, jamming in the plug. Serial murder. Every day, the spiders crawled up, emerging from the pipes after a wobbly climb. Were they always the same ones that, after being flushed down into the murky depths, the bowels of the city like a vast reservoir of teeming, stinking life, unfolded themselves, came back to life, and embarked on another ascent, invariably destined to fail? It was hard to imagine. Juliet saw herself as a pitiless but negligent divinity, too busy most of the time to fulfil her role, intermittently guarding the gates of hell. What were the spiders hoping for once their feet were on dry land, so to speak? What journey had they decided to undertake, and with what purpose? The man in the green hat could perhaps have given her the answer, if Juliet had dared ask him. Every morning, he would open his briefcase and take out a book covered in thin, almost transparent paper, also of a greenish hue. He'd unfold its corners with slow, deliberate movements, then slide a finger between two pages already separated by a strip of the same paper, and begin reading. The title of the book was A History of Insects Useful to Man, Animals and the Arts, with a supplement on how to destroy pests. He would caress the mottled leather cover, its spine decorated with thin gold lettering, the title standing out against a red background. He'd open it, bring it closer to his face, and sniff it, his eyes half closed. And then he'd read 2 or 3 pages, no more, like a food lover eating cream pastries with a tiny silver spoon. A happy, enigmatic smile appearing on his face, the kind that Juliet, fascinated, imagined as that of the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. That smile always faded at Cambronne, giving way to an expression of rueful disappointment.